Please turn with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. John 21, I'd like to read verses 15 to 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Lord, this passage is of particular interest to me as I preach today on the need for more love for Jesus. And would you please open our hearts and our eyes and our minds to this great truth. Amen. For 20 years, a missionary doctor by the name of Helen Rosevier served in the Belgian Congo, which is now Zaire in Africa. During a civil war in 1964, she was captured by rebel soldiers for 5 months. During that time, she was raped, beaten, and abused in various ways. After her release and a 2-year rest from mission work, she returned to Zaire to continue her medical work for another 7 years. When asked how her views of missions changed, she said this. She said, 16 years ago, I talked about the desperate needs in other parts of the world. Now I tell Christians, wherever they are, that they must fall in love with Jesus again. Christianity in the West today says that we need a bigger church and a bigger car and better clothes. Once Christians fall out of love with that and in love with Jesus, I won't need to talk missions. They will become missionaries because they love Him. She went on to say, "I want to see the word passion come back." We're not allowed to use that word today because it has taken on other meanings. But I want people to be passionately in love with Jesus so that nothing else counts. Well, the Bible doesn't exactly talk about being in love with Jesus, but it sure does talk about loving Jesus. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:22, "If anyone is not loving the Lord, let him be accursed. That's a literal translation. Ephesians 6:24 says, "Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible." And that word incorruptible means that it doesn't perish. It doesn't get corrupted in any way. It doesn't spoil. It doesn't go bad. It doesn't end. Some translations have undying love. The tragedy in many marriages is that love dies. I don't know how many marriages somebody says, "I just don't love him or her anymore." They've fallen out of love. Our love for Jesus should be immortal. Because as Paul wrote those scriptures about love, he's using the present tense. If anybody does not continually love Jesus, let him be accursed. If there's one outcome that I hope and pray for from our theme for this year, is that our love for Jesus Christ will grow and will keep on growing. I don't want us to get under the indictment of the church at Ephesus, where Jesus indicted the church and said, "I've got this against you, Fellowship Bible Church. You've abandoned, you've left your love that you had at first." I don't want to get that way. That place for this church. And I don't think you do either. That's why I've entitled this message today, "More Love for Jesus Christ." We need more love for the one who is absolutely essential. And for those of you who haven't been with us, our theme for this year is Jesus Christ is absolutely essential. And this is so serious that the Holy Spirit prompted the Apostle Paul to pronounce a curse on anyone who doesn't love the risen Lord. According to 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one who possesses the Holy Spirit would ever say, "Let Jesus be cursed." It's the same word. So this curse that Paul pronounces is for those people, maybe even in the church, who would profess to know Jesus Christ, but who really don't love him. We know that, or they don't really know him. We know that they don't know him because they don't love him. For to know Jesus Christ is to love him. And that's why I want you to get to know him better and better, more and more this year, so that your love for Christ will grow. And when your love for Jesus grows, I know your love for one another will grow. And isn't that what Jesus meant when he said that if anyone wants to become a follower of his, he must hate the people closest to him? Did you know Jesus said that? In Luke 14:26, Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." And this is best explained this way. Compared to love for Jesus Christ, all other love for others seems like hate. Then there's Matthew 10:37, where Jesus said, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me," so there's a comparison, "more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And even as we are called and commanded by Jesus to love our enemies, in Matthew 5:44, even family love must not supersede our love for Jesus. Jesus also said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will what? Hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. I think this is what Dr. Rosevier meant when she said she wanted people to love Jesus so passionately so that nothing else matters. What matters most to you is a burning question that we all must ask and we all must face every day. What matters most to you? Is this kind of love even possible? Consider the Apostle Paul, who testified in Acts 20:24, but I do not count my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Keep those two words in mind, ministry and message. Paul went on to say in Acts 21:13, when his friends tried to persuade him not to go to Jerusalem because they knew trouble awaited him there, Paul said, what are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart. For I'm ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He loved Jesus so much he was willing to die for him. And consider the martyrs of Revelation 12:11, of whom it is said, they overcame him, that is, the ancient serpent, the devil, Satan, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. So yes, it's possible to love Jesus so much that you're willing to die for him. And many have died for him and still do. Revelation 2:10-13 talks about the martyrs already, early martyrs for Jesus. It's possible to have an incorruptible, unfading, never-ending, immortal love for Jesus. In fact, folks, have you ever thought that it's when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, now abides these three, what? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Why is that the greatest? Because that's the only quality of faith and hope that is eternal, that will always grow and grow and grow and grow. The more you're in heaven, the more your love for God is going to grow and grow and grow and grow. So why am I talking about loving Jesus so much? I'm talking about this because love for Jesus is as essential as Jesus himself is. Love for Jesus is as essential as Jesus himself is. That was the first and greatest commandment, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The greatest commandment. So today I want to show you five areas where love for Jesus is absolutely essential. We might call them five key areas that require love for Jesus as its fuel. Love for Jesus is the fuel for our mission, our message, our maturity, our ministry, and our magnification of God. So let's just look at those briefly. Those are five sermons in themselves, but guess what? You get them all in one shot today. Love for Jesus is fuel for our mission. What is the church's mission? Can you in just one simple sentence say what is the church's mission? Why are we here? You give various answers, which are all right. Jesus said our mission is Matthew 28 to what? Make disciples. Make disciples. Make disciples. Make other followers of Jesus. A disciple is a learner, a student, an apprentice. It's our mission to make disciples of the world's ethnic groups for Jesus. That's what that word nations is, ethnic groups. And I tried to end last 2020 with that emphasis. And we're going to keep that emphasis all throughout this year. As I explained in the annual congregational meeting, every month that has a fifth Sunday, we're going to have a missions emphasis. Because we want to keep this vision of reaching the world's ethnic groups before us. So next Sunday is a fifth Sunday month. Okay? So next Sunday, Tim Bunn is going to come and he's going to kind of launch this vision of keeping our eyes focused on reaching unreached ethnic groups. Then we have another one in May, and then in August, and then in October. And we're going to be asking you to do some preparation work for those Sundays. We're going to give maybe the teenagers some missionary biographies to read and maybe do a report on. We're going to give some of you women, maybe you can have some ideas and investigate how God used women like Dr. Helen Roosevelt in missions, and you can report on that. You know, we're going to get you involved in this. We're going to, God willing, have a map of the world down here that has the unreached people groups yet so that you can visually see where the gospel still needs to go, because there are plenty of places in this world where the gospel yet has not gone. But our mission is to make disciples of the world's ethnic groups for Jesus. Our mission is not to solve all of society's problems. Now listen to me, and please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. Before he left office, the outgoing president of our nation proclaimed today as Sanctity of Life Sunday, just as it had been proclaimed for years prior to him. I doubt that we will see such a proclamation for at least the next 4 years. Some of you may have read the article posted by Desiring God Ministries by Greg Morse, who wrote that America has become the land that turns women into ostriches. He referred to a passage in Job 39 that says that a mother ostrich deals cruelly with her young as if they were not hers. Morse went on to write, "We live in a land that supports, defends, and funds the choice for a mother to become an ostrich." But the abortion tragedy is not just in America, it's worldwide, because sin is universal. Women all over the world have lost compassion for the gift of God within them. So what's the answer? Pregnancy life centers, ultrasound machines, tax credits for those willing to adopt so-called unwanted babies. All of these are helpful, and I believe followers of Jesus can rightly support them. But these don't constitute our mission. Neither does correcting many other societal ills, such as homosexuality, gender confusion, and the overall assault on marriage, and alleged social injustices and alleged systemic racism. Our primary mission is to make disciples of Jesus so that one by one and family by family, there's more salt and light in this world. Because when we do that, when we make disciples of people who become salt and light in this world, then some of these other societal issues will definitely be corrected. And to fulfill our mission, we need to love Jesus and the ones we're trying to reach. Jesus said, the student will be like his teacher. And the more we get to know the teacher, and the more we learn from him, as we take his yoke upon us and learn from him and learn how meek and lowly he was and how humble he was and yet how firm he stood for the truth. The more we do that, the more we will grow in our love for him and the better we will be able to carry out our mission of making disciples. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and one of those commandments is to make disciples. Second, the second area that love for Jesus will fuel, that is love for the message. And the gospel is our message in evangelism. Remember, Paul said that all he wanted to do was finish his course, and the ministry that God gave him to declare, to preach the message, the gospel of the grace of God, that's the message. If we're going to tell the good news about Jesus Christ and offer forgiveness to people, we have to know what the news is that makes it good. And that news that makes it good is the grace of God. It's not that people have to work for their way to heaven. It's not for people have to earn their God's favor. They receive it as a gift. And we must love that message and love to tell it. I'm glad that we sang that today again. I love to tell it. Can we sing with the song we sang this morning and with the hymn writer of old who said, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's what? True. It's true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. Folks, you see, today, truth is so relative today. Oh, well, this might be true for you, but not necessarily for me. You might find Jesus to satisfy your longings, but I found something else to satisfy my longings. But there's nothing else that's true. People need to hear that their sins can be forgiven before they catch the coronavirus and die. See, we've heard a lot of people about dying of that coronavirus, right? But I haven't heard one news story of anybody saying how to prepare to die. Have you? Haven't heard anybody say, okay, because this thing is so dangerous, you need to get your will in order. Make sure your will in order. And here's how you can, you know, make a will and get all that done. Make sure you're ready to die. You're not hearing that. We have that message to prepare people. Not just to die from the coronavirus, but you know that there's far more people dying today of coronary heart disease and cancer than are dying from the coronavirus. And we don't hear anything about preparing, fortifying your immune system to maybe fight off or keep from suffering so much from the effects of this virus. But there's a greater virus, folks, isn't there? The one that infects every human being that's born into this world. And that's the virus of sin. And we have the message that people can be saved from their sins and from the wrath of God. And then come to love Jesus too. Don't you want other people to come to love Jesus too? I'll tell you what, the more you read this, the more you're going to get to love Jesus. The more you understand this, the more you're going to love Jesus. So it's fuel for our message. Let me move on. Once the disciple comes to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he's commanded to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. You're commanded to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. You should not be satisfied with the paltry knowledge of Jesus that you have. And I say that to myself. I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible, but this year it seems to be so much more exciting for me as I'm reading through looking for Jesus. And lo and behold, he's everywhere. I just read about him this morning in Exodus 19 to 21 and in Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who's the King of glory? The Lord Jesus. And loving Jesus more and more as we get to know him better and better this year will fuel our maturity, our spiritual growth and development. And as Jesus taught those on the road to Emmaus and his own disciples, this will involve you learning to use the scriptures more accurately because they're all about Jesus. The more you know and understand the scriptures, the more you will grow. The more you understand Jesus and your relationship with him from the Bible, the more you will be able to withstand the enemies that assault you every day by way of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now let's talk about ministry. And now you can refer to John 21. You wondered, well, where's he going? How's he going to get there? Well, let's talk about ministry. You know what Peter did, right? You know how Peter failed, and how he denied the Lord how many times? Three times, yeah. He denied the Lord three times. And what was the question that Jesus asked Peter three times? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? If you do, Peter, then I want you to tend my sheep. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. You see, if you ask me what's necessary or essential for Christian ministry, I would have to say you need at least three things. You need some knowledge of the Bible. You need some knowledge of the message. You need spiritual gifts, at least one spiritual gift that you can minister with. And you need heartburn. And by heartburn, I explained that in previous messages, I'm talking about you need that passion for Jesus that comes from your understanding of the Word of God. Did not our hearts burn along the ways He taught us out of the Scriptures, the disciples said. We're passionate. I agree with Dr. Rosevier. We're passionate about a lot of things in this world. But let's be most passionate about Jesus. And her desire to resurrect passion for Jesus was a good desire. And so as Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" I have to ask myself that question. And it's in the present tense. Are you loving me? Right now, Peter, are you loving me? Right now, Terry, am I loving Jesus right now? Are you where you sit right now or where you're listening and viewing this, are you loving Jesus right now more than anything else? More than other disciples? More than your past? More than your present? More than anything else? More than your dreams? Do you love Jesus? Yeah. Praise God. I hope we can all say, yes, I love Jesus, because that is the fuel for ministry. If Peter was going to feed lambs, tend sheep, feed sheep, Jesus wanted to know if he loved him. He didn't say, "How articulate of a speaker are you, Peter?" He didn't say, "I know you know, you got a big mouth and you open it too often," but he didn't really care much about that. He didn't know how well of an organizer he didn't care how well of an organizer he was. He didn't care, you know, about a whole lot of other things that we care about today. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" And so I've changed my way of thinking about how to restore people to ministry or how to restore people after they've sinned. I've changed my thinking. I think the question I just need to ask people if they come humbly in repentance is, do you love Jesus? Yes, you can have blown it like Peter did, like David did. King David, he wrote in one of his songs, "Oh, how I love the Lord." And see, men, it's okay to say you love Jesus. It's okay, men. You know, it's masculine enough. King David surely did. Ministry flows out of your relationship with Jesus. And loving Jesus more and more is the key to obeying Him and following Him more closely so that we can minister to others more effectively. Finally, love for Jesus is not only the fuel for our mission, for our message, for our maturity, for our ministry, but it's also the fuel for our magnification of God. Love for Jesus will fuel our praise and worship of Him. And that's what I want to do when we gather. I really wish, I wish that someday all of these chairs could be filled up. But it's not how many's in the chairs, but what happens when we come here. I want Jesus to be magnified when we come here. I don't want any preacher, whoever's going to be in the, here in the future, I don't want any speaker, any elder, any teacher to be exalted and praised and magnified. I want Jesus to be praised and magnified and exalted because He is worthy. And I not only want to magnify when we're here, I want you to magnify Him as you leave and enter the mission field through your praise, through your testimonies. John the Baptist said it well when he said that Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. And that's the way it ought to be. So Ruby's going to come, and we're going to sing an old hymn. More love to Thee, O Christ, more love to Thee. You see, folks, we praise what we prize, and we pursue what we praise. So let's stand and make this our prayer that God will fill us and grow our love for Jesus. Let's stand as we sing.